You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on September 1st, 2022. This week, we're going to be talking about the student loan debt forgiveness plan that was announced last week. This is obviously a politically charged topic, and a lot has been said about it from that angle. However, we're going to take a different approach and consider some matters that are related to this, and certainly will fall into the category of spiritual principles. So for links to this story, as well as related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/090122. Now for our story this week. Student loan forgiveness could help more than 40 million people. From Associated Press, more than 40 million Americans could see their student loan debt reduced and in many cases eliminated under the long-awaited forgiveness plan President Joe Biden announced Wednesday. A historic but politically divisive move in the run-up to the midterm elections. Fulfilling a campaign promise, Biden is erasing $10,000 in federal student loan debt for those with incomes below $125,000 a year, or households that earn less than $250,000. He's canceling an additional $10,000 for those who received federal Pell Grants to attend college. It's seen as an unprecedented attempt to stem the tide of America's rapidly rising student debt. But it doesn't address the broader issue, the high cost of college. Republicans quickly denounced the plan as an insult to Americans who have repaid their debt and to those who didn't attend college. Critics across the political spectrum also questioned whether Biden has authority for the move, and legal challenges are virtually certain. That was the story as it was reported by the Associated Press. Now, there are many people in this country who are under crippling student loan debt. The cost of a college education has risen astronomically, and our society has bought into the notion that a college education is virtually a necessity to have any type of success in life. From an early age, children have been conditioned to think that the natural and best next step after high school is college. This has led to a serious financial problem for many people in this country. And, of course, whenever there's a problem, there will always be people clamoring for a solution from the government. Then you have people with different ideas, conflicting views, and then politicians who will try to do and say whatever they can in order to get elected. And that's what's happened here, and really it's no surprise. But another thing that probably is also of no surprise, but certainly more disappointing, is how some people, even professed Christians, have resorted to twisting the scriptures in order to defend this plan. And that's why we're talking about it here today, because some have turned a political issue into a spiritual one. We commonly have to deal with people going the other direction, turning a spiritual issue like abortion, into a political one. But what happens when we go the other way? Now, there may be principles, and I would say there are principles, that will naturally inform our political opinions, and we'll talk about some of that here. But we do need to be careful, and some comments that I have seen from others have not been careful. Well, what do I mean by that? One of the things I've seen regarding this issue is that some Christians have defended the debt forgiveness plan by drawing a parallel with Jesus forgiving us of our sins. For example, they'll say something to this effect that if we appreciate that fact that our sins have been forgiven, then we should all be in favor of the student loan debt being forgiven. However, being forgiven of sins, something that we could never repay, is not the same thing as being forgiven of a student loan debt, which is something that we should be working to repay. So this has been debated inside and out from a political, economic, and based on that last point, a pseudo-spiritual perspective. And it's not my intention here, believe it or not, to get into some political discussion. But this is what people are talking about, and I do think that it's important to consider some issues that are spiritual matters and directly related to the Bible that do apply to this. So I want us to today to consider some points that are related to this issue that I believe are important for Christians to remember. Number one, we should work to pay off our debts. Paul wrote in Romans 13, verse 8, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." Now, it is not necessarily sinful to be in debt, although the Bible does make it very clear that this is a hardship that should be avoided when possible. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave." So this is not something that is advisable in many circumstances, not necessarily sinful, but it is a hardship when we are in debt. And when we are in debt, we are to work to pay it off. Paul used himself as an example to the brethren in Thessalonica when he talked about how he worked night and day in order to not be a burden to any of them in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. In his first letter to those brethren, he said in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 of 1 Thessalonians, he said, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business, work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need." We are responsible to take care of ourselves. If we are unnecessarily dependent upon others, and it doesn't matter if it's the government or anyone else, if we are unnecessarily dependent upon others, then that limits the amount of help that could go to those who are truly in need. So we should work to provide for ourselves, and when we find ourselves in debt, work to pay that off, even if we have to follow Paul's example and work night and day. Number two, we should not think that college is a necessity. First of all, the reason why I say this, first of all, is that if someone wants to argue that a college education is necessary to get ahead, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:8 that if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. So if our primary motivation is simply to get ahead, we need to make sure that we are content with even a little in this life. But secondly, we need to seriously weigh the reality that colleges in general are filled with people, students and professors, who have rejected God on account of their so-called higher education. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth about this very thing. He said in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 27, "Consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise." And then in verse 29, he says, "So that no one may boast before God." Then later he told these brethren, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals," in chapter 15 and verse 33. So if a college education is beneficial from a financial perspective, is it worth it if we or our children are led away from the faith? Jesus asked the question in Matthew 16, 26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the third point on this, about this idea that we're thinking that about college being a necessity, we need to seriously consider whether a college education harmonizes with the responsibility that we have as Christians to be good stewards of our blessings. For some careers, a college education is probably a necessity. For most, it's not. It may help with some, but it's not a necessity. So in those cases, are we being good stewards by spending tens of thousands of dollars or more than that, or by going into debt that much to get a job that maybe will pay a little more than we might have otherwise been earning at some other job? Now, I can't answer that question for you. But if you are considering college, either for yourself or for your kids, seriously give that question some thought. Is it being a good steward of the blessings that you have been given? A college education is helpful for some, but not for others. And as we talked about, it could even be detrimental. So seriously weigh that. Don't just assume that, well, this is just how it is. This is just what the next step. It doesn't always have to be. Number three, we can take advantage of privileges and opportunities that are before us. So as we think about this issue, what about those who have student loan debt and now have a chance to have some or all of it forgiven? Is it necessarily wrong to take advantage of that opportunity to get out from under that debt? Not necessarily. When Paul was on trial in Acts 25, he took advantage of his Roman citizenship to appeal to Caesar. Not everyone, not even the other apostles, had that privilege. But it was available to him, so he took advantage of it. But why did he take advantage of it? Was it simply to help himself? No, it was so he could use that opportunity to put himself in a position to help others as he carried out his work of preaching the gospel. If you have $10,000 in student loan debt, and all of a sudden, that's wiped away, good for you. That is a great thing. Now, what are you going to do? Since you don't have those monthly payments that are going toward that debt, since you've been released from that, now what are you going to do? Are you going to use that extra money on yourself? Are you going to waste it on frivolous things? Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and verse 10, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." With this plan, no matter how good or bad of an idea it is from a political or economic standpoint, we're not going to debate that here on this point. But with this plan, you may have an opportunity now to do good. So think about this. Are there people that you can help? Are there other people who are in need with other kinds of debts that aren't being forgiven? Maybe medical expenses. They've racked up debts because of medical bills, or something like that. Or someone is just of a lower income, they never went to college, and they're struggling to get by. They're not receiving this type of forgiveness. Maybe you might be now, if you've been forgiven of this student loan debt, maybe now you're in a better position to be able to help them. Look for those opportunities. So if you take advantage of this, if you're in a position you can take advantage of this, okay, but see how you can use that for good. And then the fourth and final point, there is a danger in taking passages that talk about our personal responsibility and applying it to some type of government action. Jesus clearly taught that we are to forgive others. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 14 and 15, he says, "If you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." However, that does not mean that the government should forgive these loans. That's not even what Jesus was talking about. He's not saying the government should do this or even that they can do this. In reality, with what this plan is doing, these loans are not being forgiven. They're just being paid for by someone else. When Jesus talked about forgiving our debtors, He didn't mean that if someone owes you $100, then quote unquote forgive them and then demand that that person's neighbor give you $100. That's not what Jesus was saying at all. Anytime the government gives something, they first have to take it from someone else. That's not a political point, that's just reality. The government is not the same as the individual. Therefore, the things that the Bible teaches that we as individuals are to do, then we as individuals need to do them. Civil authorities have been given their own set of responsibilities. And we've discussed these at length before in different episodes, so I won't get into them here for the sake of time. But one of the fundamental rules of biblical hermeneutics is to understand who is being addressed so that we can properly apply the instruction in that passage. In the past, we have seen regrettable division in the church when brethren took passages that applied to individuals, like one that we've already cited, Galatians 6 and verse 10, or James 1:27 that talks about visiting orphans and widows, and then using them to justify actions by the church. Well, now some are taking passages that apply to individuals and using them to justify some action by the government. It goes to the same root problem of misapplying scriptures. We need to guard against that. So this student loan debt forgiveness plan is something that obviously everyone is talking about. However, before this announcement, and also long after this plan is forgotten, the principles that we have talked about today will be the same. We need to work to provide for ourselves, which includes paying our own debts. We need to make wise decisions, even when it comes to college, to try to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. We need to take advantage of opportunities that are set before us to do good. We also need to pray that the civil authorities fulfill their God-given role, while we work to fulfill our role, realizing that these are two different things. Now, in the show notes for today's episode, I'm including a couple of links for other discussions that I've heard this past week from Christians that are related to this topic. One is a radio program that my father-in-law did, Tim Hale, for the Parkway Church of Christ. He talked about this, really used it as an illustration to talk about the point of personal responsibility. That will be linked in the show notes. And also, I saw a video from the guys over at Focus Press where they did a short video on what does the Bible say about student loan forgiveness. And in both of those lessons, there were points brought up that were in addition to what we talked about here today. So for more discussion on this, you can check out those links in the show notes. But that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and helpful. And again, for links to the story we talked about, as well as those other links I mentioned, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/090122. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate the podcast there. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this episode, please share this with them. And if you see a news story that you think would make for a good discussion, please email the link to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.